provide additional protection for police officers, the type of protection they already have in criminal situations.
Reasonably suspecting someone is existing language, as it appears
yes.
in the bill.
Just love those. The police could not do it just on a hunch. They'd need to have some articulable grounds to believe that the person is armed and presently dangerous.
Mr. Chair, if you're looking for a motion, I don't believe we have any amendments that I'm aware of or my file reflects. My brief research in this subject indicates that this is not a great expansion in terms of the current practice and how police officers, I think, routinely conduct themselves in order to protect themselves when they're approaching individuals who may be armed or dangerous. So I prepared to move the bill to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Miller.
Chairman, I would just note that although we didn't have amendments, we did have adverse testimony from the Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I guess I'm surprised and pleased that they're here today to prolong the discussion. We'll support Representative Springer's motion.
Okay, motion is Representative Springer moves that House Bill 2195 be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Clerk, call roll.
Bowman.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Springer.
Aye.
Burton.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, do we have 2876 or
3036 or are those the ones that are being held? Yeah, those are the ones
being held. Move to House Bill 2477.
The amendments proposed in this bill today are the chief sponsor. We should have them.
We have some amendments which are dash one amendments.
And I believe it would be dash two in addition.
Dash two in addition. Do I those?
I received them this morning and they were supposed to be distributed.
Well, I don't necessarily mean my finalists are out.
They'll be sitting in front of you.
Okay. We have someone.
This was up the full committee.
I think this is Representative Kopetsky's bill. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And he is on his way down to testify on this. Why don't we hold, let's see. We get through 2448 real fast.
Sure.
Let's hold that for a second until Representative Kopetsky gets here and go to 2448. This is a bill that requires police agencies to pay for medical exam of the victim when in sex crime exam is requested by the agency. We have some. This is Representative Phillips' bill. Would you like to,
Mr. Chair, members of the Judiciary Committee? For the record, my name is Greg Knox. I'm legislative assistant for Representative Paul Phillips, District 9. Representative Phillips had a death in the family and was unable to attend today, so I was going to testify on his behalf. Basically, Representative Phillips feels that this bill is good policy. It was introduced by a constituent who was a victim of a sex crime. He also feels that this policy needs to be adapted statewide. However, some counties and cities are practicing such policy today, and various funding procedures are in place. If there's any further questions or comments that need to be made, Representative Phillips will be available for any future hearings. That's pretty much all I have to add.
Thanks, Greg. I understand that the City of Portland, you might want to hang on here, the City of Portland has some, or Multnomah County has some proposed amendments to this, and I think they're standing outside that glass door right there. And I would like to give you an opportunity to take a look at any of those amendments before we take any action on anything. So I think what I'll do is we'll take about a, if I dare do this, take about a 5-minute recess, and then we'll come back. Kopetsky should be here, then you can deal with that question out there if you wish. Let's take a
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Recess. work session on House Bill 2448. Knox, and did you want to come back up? And I believe you have some other people with, who else you want? We have some proposed amendments which seem to be acceptable, so.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Greg Knox, I have contacted Representative Phillips. He is in complete agreement that he has no problems with the proposed amendments, so we will not stand in the way of that.
Somebody want to explain these to us? Who wants to do this?
Mr. Chairman, Scott Weininger, Portland Police. Basically, what this does is it allows for pre-existing agreements between governmental bodies to cover the cost of the examination. For example, in Multnomah County, where the Multnomah County Health Services pays for it. So that's basically what it does.
Jeff Burks, do you have any?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sheriff Burks, and we're agreeable to the amendment. Our main concern is the victim does not have to pay, although we think there are alternative methods that are in place that can be used without blanketly just saying it has to be the investigating police department that pays for the examination.
Okay. Chair, entertain a motion on the amendments.
So moved.
Representative Springer moves the amendments to House Bill 2448, which were provided by the City of Portland on a sheet dated April 7th, 1987. Any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Being done, that's so ordered. And motion on the bill.
Move the bill as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Springer moves House Bill 2448 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. The clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Knox?
Aye.
Okay, let's go to House Bill. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that. House Bill 2477.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, Mike Kresky, State Representative District 33, and I have with me today Debbie Wilson, the Attorney General's Office, and her friend.
She always comes with me.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think we've worked this out. I think we've got a real good bill. And you'll have a set of amendments to say Rep. Kresky 4787. And the first thing you should do is rip off the back page and throw it away. Okay, don't even look at it. Don't want to confuse me anymore.
It ends in the middle of a sentence, however, is that? The page ends in the middle of a sentence, is it?
Let me make sure. Oops.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, don't throw it too far.
Sounds like 15, oh. It's okay.
Yeah, rip off after line 15. Just kind of fold it. Kind of fold it. And go like this and keep that part.
Japanese call this origami or something? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Just don't look.
This is a test. Yeah. Check you afterwards.
Is this thing that after this part we take up?
And then we have for you. Do we have? Do they have?
Well, excuse me. Line 15 on page 1 and line 15 on page 2.
Page
2. Oh. In other words. Just said rip it on.
I just flunked the test. We're keeping all page 1 and going to the to page, to line 15 on page 2.
Page 2, correct.
I don't need that here myself. Okay.
Remember, we're legislators.
We need now lots of instruction. I don't want to show you too much here. Okay, then, do you have something called proposed amendments to House Bill 2477 dated March 31, 1987?
You should. It should have been attached to the back of a letter to the Honorable Dick Springer.
From
myself.
Is there an LC number related to it?
No.
No.
It's, this is a big, there it is. This is dated March 6th.
Correct.
And the,
or excuse me, March 31st, 1987. It was submitted to the last work session, well, last full committee, I guess it was. It was when you had full committee.
We can read the amendments. They're very short and easily explained. If you look on
the
page.
What's the date on it?
March 31.
Yep. March 31st. The letter's dated March 30th, 1987, and the amendments are dated March 31st, 1987, which was the date when it was to go back to full committee.
I just want to make sure, there's a lot of testimony in this file on this one, and let's make sure that council has the right amendments in the main file, and we know what we're dealing with.
I don't have the letter, but
we're not finding it. You have a copy there, why don't we?
It's a 13-word amendment, and on page 3, if you look on line 17.
This is page 3 of the bill?
Page 3 of the bill. Delete shall and insert may. And then on line 18, after record.
Yeah.
Insert or outside the presence of the jury and on the record.
Or outside the presence?
Or outside the presence of the jury.
Of the jury and on the
record.
And on the record.
And there's one other change on line 15.
Line 15, same page?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Delete a substantial lack of and insert an incomplete. So the child has an incomplete memory.
Again, the first amendment was on which line?
Line 17, delete shall, insert may. And on line 18, after record, insert or outside the presence of the jury and on the record. So you're not limiting the examination to the chambers, judge's chambers. And up above on line 15, the reason for that change is to clarify the meaning of the words substantial lack of. We're talking about incomplete or some lack of memory of the situation, and it goes back to the cognitive abilities of the young child to recall somewhat or totally an event in the past.
Okay, and then your other amendments, which are marked Rep. Kopetsky.
Dated 4/7/87, you'll see lines 2 through 9 of the amendments are deleted, and lines 12 through 15 are deleted, and on page 2, ignore anything below the stars.
Okay, what are the effect of those amendments?
What we will end up with having is the indicia of reliability for the judge to determine whether a statement possesses a substantial guarantee of reliability. The deletions of the amendments, the first one goes to the controversy surrounding the Campbell case, and whether this is under what circumstances the hearsay exception can be used. The intent of this is to have current law continue. Help me if I'm going off base here, Deborah. In other words, this is a new exception. We're creating a new exception for these circumstances that other hearsay exceptions would apply. For example, the excited utterance. That can still come in, but if it would have to fit the needs of the excited utterance exception. And the catch-all hearsay exception would have to be if you had a situation where you wanted something in, you would not be using a class of situations, if you will, but the unique circumstance of that one particular situation that does not fit one of these other exceptions. The next deletion of amendments is uh, we would maintain the current law with respect to inability to testify, and it would be two situations. One, incompetence.
Incompetence?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one would be incomplete memory of the situation. Those would be the two situations.
This would have added two other sections. The child would have been unavailable for if they had a lack of memory, if they were incompetent to testify, and this would add a third and fourth, unable to communicate about the offense because of fear or other similar reason, or number four, substantially likely to suffer severe emotional trauma from testifying. The only other amendments that are offered is to change the word sexual contact to sexual conduct on two lines, and that was offered by the Oregon District Attorney's Association because it has a criminal meaning, and definitely I think that should be included.
Yes.
The other one that the other amendment discussed by Representative Kopetsky is the part that does have the indicia of determining reliability. In order to have the statute be constitutional, even though it's an exception to the hearsay rule, the judge has to decide two things. Number one, that the child is unavailable, and number two, that the statement has an indicia of trustworthiness and reliability. These indicias are offered here for the judge to take a look at and to make a record. It doesn't include all of these things, and it's not limited to these factors, but these are some factors that the judge can look at to determine whether or not that statement is trustworthy and has indicia of reliability.
Okay. Those are the amendments. The amendments have been presented in agreement between the chief sponsor and the district attorney's and the attorney general's office. Does the district attorney's association concur with it? Chair, entertain a motion to adopt the amendments as proposed to House Bill 2477.
I'll so move.
Representative Baumann moves to adopt the amendments to House Bill 2477, which are found in the hand engrossed, or now hand engrossed, in page 3 of the bill, and I would ask, I guess, if we could get a hand engrossed version of this whole thing before we get to full committee, would be helpful. But as they're indicated on page 3 of the bill, and then also in a legislative council draft, which is now titled Representative Kopetsky, dated 4/7/87.
Okay.
Any discussion on the amendments? Any objections to the amendments? Okay, that's so ordered. Chair, entertain a motion on the main bill as amended.
I would move that we send this House Bill 2477 excuse me, to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Baumann moves House Bill 2477 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the bill as amended? Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
You working that out. Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, the two matters we have left in a work session are 2087 and 2336.
Call 2087 first. Okay.
Are they ready?
The other one's not. I know they are, but I can have to run them down.
Are we ready on 2087? I don't think so. Are we ready on 2336? Not ready on that one either. Okay, let me.
That's the election of the agreement when it was supposed to be.
We've got amendments being proposed on that. We've got it. I'll tell you what. I have a meeting right now at the governor's office, and I guess we ought to just. And we don't really have hearing scheduled at 4 o'clock.
Do you want to recess for about 15 or half an hour?
Yeah, I'd like. I think we're going to do is recess for half an hour and reconvene at 3:30 to resume the work session on those two bills and the hearing. So we'll take a recess.
Is this?
We have some individuals here who wish to speak on this issue. Better come up before we get away from you again. There is a, we have a proposed amendment.
Chris?
Do I have them?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Greg McMurdo. I'm an attorney in Salem, and with me is Byron Chatfield, who's an Assistant Attorney General from the Department of Justice in the Criminal Justice Division. I think you all have copies of the amendments. They're more lengthy than they are substantive, but for purposes of review, at the last hearing, you may recall that we mentioned this bill was a bill sponsored by the Election Law Reform Committee of the Oregon State Bar, and our purpose was twofold. One was to provide a method to enforce certain provisions of the election laws that we felt were not suited for criminal prosecution, and secondly, our desire to, of course, save the state general fund monies and the Secretary of State monies. We did so by treating most of what are currently Class A misdemeanors in this bill as violations which would be subject to a $250 civil penalty for each violation. In addition, the bill established a APA contested case proceeding for determining how much or if a penalty should be imposed. The amendments that you have, and they've been hand engrossed into the bill for your reference, make very, very small changes. First, you'll note that throughout Section 1 of the printed bill, we've added the words, or Attorney General. That is to cover those cases in which the offender or alleged offender would be the Secretary of State or candidate for the office of Secretary of State or a committee supporting either of those two individuals. Secondly, at the suggestion of Mr. Chatfield, on the printed bill itself in line 28, we're deleting the language subject to penalty for false swearing and inserting the phrase sworn to before a notary public. That deals with written statements that would be submitted at a hearing in mitigation of the penalty to be imposed. And Mr. Chatfield felt that that was more appropriate language. The third change proposed by the amendments would delete sections 4 and 5 of the Oregon Hatch Act, or Little Hatch Act as it is called, 260.432. We propose deleting subsection 4 because it's unnecessary. That section presently sets up a civil procedure which is substantially the same as that in section 1 of the printed bill, and that was redundant language. In addition, subsection 5 has been deleted, and that has been moved into Section 1 of the printed bill. What that section does, Mr. Chairman, is provide that when the civil penalty is imposed for a violation of the Hatch Act, the amount of the penalty, the dollar amount, would be returned to the jurisdiction from which the employee was employed. In other words, if he's a city employee violated the Hatch Act, any fine imposed by the Secretary of State would go back to the city. And that's consistent with the current provision in the Hatch Act. Fourth, at the suggestion of the Attorney General and with the concurrence of the Secretary of State, we have selected other statutes that we feel should be enhanced to a Class C felony status and thus may remain subject to criminal prosecution. Those include portions of 260.665, which prohibits using undue influence in certain situations, and specifically, we are suggesting that the use of undue influence to cause a person to be or refrain from being a candidate should be a felony and subject to criminal prosecution. I think it's apparent that you should not be able to buy an election and by offering your opponent a certain amount of money if he'll drop out of the race, and that any attempt to do so should be prosecuted as a criminal offense. Along with that, we've added those sections that would prohibit the use of undue influence to cause a person to contribute or refrain from contributing to a candidate, political party, or political committee. Mm-hmm. And that section which would prohibit using undue influence to cause a person to render or refrain from rendering services to a candidate, political party, or a political committee. In addition, subsection 3 of 260.665, we've made similar changes there so that a person who solicited money to, for example, drop out of a race would also commit a felony. If we didn't do that, then that conduct would remain under this bill merely a civil offense. We've also enhanced one other section of the election code to a Class C felony, and that's 260.695 sub 5. That section prohibits a person from knowingly voting or offering to vote at a polling place in which he's not entitled to vote. Finally, Mr. Chairman, the only other changes are we've renumbered sections to accommodate the changes I just mentioned.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Byron Chatfield from the Attorney General's Office. We would not oppose this bill with amendments as they've been drafted. I've talked with Mr. McMurdo about those. He's highlighted them. I would point out, in particular, with respect to the first page, line 2728, wherein it would be sworn to before a notary public, I would only highlight that if a person chooses to submit testimony or written evidence, that if they so choose, then they are required under the election laws to provide that to the Secretary of State under oath. And we feel that that would be important. Otherwise, it would be a sham of the whole system to go through this administrative process where, in fact, they could lie without any penalty. Diana, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, one other thing I forgot to mention. At the public hearing on this bill, we submitted amendments that would also enhance the penalty for payments in a false name, 260.402. I believe those amendments were received favorably by the committee, and they are incorporated in the amendments dated 4-187. So
those are in here. What was that reference again?
260.402. That provision is also contained in the amendments distributed today.
Brian, any questions or discussion by the committee? Okay, Chair entertained a motion to
so moved.
Amend. Okay, Representative Springer moves to amend House Bill 2336 with the amendments which are dated April the 1st, 1987, LC 576, prepared by, I guess, Mr. McMurdo, and it's marked in the corner. That's correct. Any discussion on the amendments? Any objections to the amendments? Not that, so ordered. Is there a motion on the main bill?
I'd move the bill as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Springer moves House Bill 2336 to the full committee, as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the bill? Clerk, call roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Are you ready to go to this one?
What do you think? Need a recess again? Or we go? This is the caucus.
You want to take that? I don't know how long it's going to go.
Where are we on this one?
It's got problems. It's going to have to go over to another hearing, so we may need to take some amendments, take some comments, and then.
You have to have a recess, go back to the hearing?
The DA is against the bill. The DAs are against the bill.
Okay. We're going to do is we have been a call to a meeting, and I believe that on House Bill 2087 there are some difficulties that remain, which means we're probably going to have to reschedule this for another work session. I apologize to those of you who came down. We will recess for a half an hour and be back for a hearing on the bills that remain on the hearing list. So I'm sorry, we'll have to take another recess. Hearing session on a number of bills. There is a large crowd. Hopefully, I thought maybe all of you gone home by now. On House Bill 3027, when the people signed up, about seven of you are in favor of that. One of you is opposed to it. You believe that? What I would ask on that bill, so we won't be here all night, is that those of you who are in favor of it, I would appreciate if you have written testimony. I'm going to limit testimony to about 2 minutes. If you have written testimony, submit that, give us your information quickly, and we'll pass by. I believe what we'll do at this time is go to hearing on House Bill 3230. Representative Pooley, Donna Peterson.
Well, we're in the
This is 3230, yes, because you're the only people signed up to testify on that. Then we're going to move directly to 3027, unless you continue to testify on that one.
How about that?
Take it home.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Darlene Hooley, State Representative from District 27. Mr. Haas, Judge Haas, Harold Haas came in and asked that I introduce this bill, which I did at his request. So much of what I give you today will be information that really I've gotten from him through a letter from him. The other reason I was more than willing to bring this before the committee as dealing with the budget of indigent defense and of the whole court system, we are looking at ways of recouping money, cutting down money, so forth. And what this does, and we've had an ad hoc committee that looked at that, and one of the, when